Welcome to the Cyan and Recon Podcast, the wrestling show that sometimes breaks kayfabe and discusses other things like comics, movies, video games, anime, and anything relevant to pop culture. I am one of your hosts, Cyan of Flame.
And I'm Starhead Regan.
Today we're going to be reviewing last week's WWE Fastlane pay-per-view, in which we had a lot of different things colliding and everything, really retouching on several of the storylines going on over the last several months. We opened the show with a big rematch of the Authority versus Team Cena de facto. We had Seth Rollins, Big Show, and Kane facing off against Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, and Ryback. What did you think of this one, Regan?
So, I'm a fan of when, you know, wrestling storylines take a long time to get resolved. I know some people are tired of the Authority. I know that... Anytime there's a heel figure that lasts more than, say, 4 or 5 months, people kind of tend to get tired of it. But I see the silver lining in this kind of booking. Now, I don't know if I want to see more of the Authority fighting the same people, like Cena, Ziggler, Rowan, Ryback. Like, I don't think I want to see that anymore, but I'm glad that they just didn't stop fighting. Because it kind of irks me whenever there's, like, a big match or a big... angle where you have this big match, like the Survivor Series match they had, and then after that they never mention it again. They never fight each other. There's never, like, they never even hint, oh, these guys had history together, the way they do, say, with Orton, the way Orton talked about his situation with Triple H and Stephanie and all of them. Like, I like how they have better memory nowadays than they did, let's say, 2-3 years ago for stories. So I'm okay with that. The match itself wasn't that great, because it wasn't. It was very, like, standard match. They, you know, everyone had their spots and whatever. But I can't really
knock performers. For the performers, I was really disappointed in the match, because I thought they could have had several much more cool spots and a lot more of a story. It just kind of seemed to be, like,
by the numbers.
Kids and everything. Like, you never got to see a moment, like... Really, the only moment in the match that the crowd built up for, and the crowd is going to be a theme throughout this review.
Oh, this is our second bad crowd, by the way.
In a row, yeah. the crowd, the only thing that they really got hyped up for, and the only thing that really, as we've been presented, they should have been hyped up for, was for when Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins were going to be in the ring against each other. Like, that was all the crowd wanted to see, is, like, the two captains of each three-man squad, basically, right, facing off. And I mean, those two could have a killer match. And, I mean, there's still so much up in the air for WrestleMania as to who Seth Rollins is going to fight, who Dolph Ziggler is going to fight. Like, is it going to be Dolph Daniel Bryan? Is it going to be Dolph versus Rollins? Is it going to be Rollins versus Orton? Is it... Are they both going to be in the, you know, Andre the Giant Battle Royal? Like, we don't know. There's still a lot.
Yeah, so as of right now, Seth Rollins, to my knowledge, this will be posted most likely today. So we're in March already, early March. So I don't think he has a match set up yet. I mean, they're doing that Jon Stewart thing, but I don't think that's going to be a match, is it?
No, Jon Stewart.
Yeah,
do something on Raw, and if he's at WrestleMania, he'll be at, like, ringside or something like that.
Right. Like, he'll be involved in a non-wrestling capacity.
Yeah, he'll be, like, promoting Ronda Rousey's entrance into WrestleMania.
Still booking that Ronda Rousey, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, if she doesn't show up tonight, then I'll give it up. But I am definitely trying to sell this match.
Yeah, I see that. The thing about this match that I will say is that this match... Like, again, it's not that it's a bad match. It's just that since we had that great Survivor Series 2014 match where all these people were involved, it just sort of, with the exception of, you know, Rusev and Cena, who have their own program going on right now, I think this match should have been the Survivor Series match. Like, or not the Survivor Series match, but the match preceding that match. Like, this shouldn't be the match after that one.
Yeah.
Like, it's inferior in every way. Completely inferior in every way.
Especially since we saw Dolph Ziggler eat up all three of these guys at Survivor Series. Like,
phrasing?
Oh. All three of these guys, he just steamrolled through them at Survivor Series.
Yeah, and then he couldn't handle it.
I think he was the fall guy in this match, wasn't he?
I believe...
I believe he took the fall after the big chokeslam from Kane.
Yep, and yeah, like, and even if he didn't take the fall, like, he should have not lost in this match after having been so dominant in the Survivor Series match.
I just don't get it. Like, if you have Eric Rowan in the match, like, that, there's your guy that needs to be taking the fall. Like,
right? Yeah, like, we have Big Show, Kane, and Eric Rowan, and you have Dolph Ziggler be the fall guy? Come on, guys. Like, really? Kane should always be the fall guy. It's not going to hurt him any, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, like, they wanted to have the team authority win.
Because I get that they're trying to build Seth Rollins. I mean, he's obviously the new Edge. I'm going to say that until it becomes true. Like, to me, he's the new Edge. And, like, they're booking him just like they did Edge when he started Rising.
Well, he's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. So
he's got the Money in the Bank. He's got that look. You know, he's got, like, the moveset, you know, the agile, but, you know, can do power matches. Like, he's the new Edge.
Neck.
Yeah. Right?
So. One thing I really liked about this was, even they did interfere and everything like, you know, outside managers is supposed to do, but J&J Security, Jamie Noble's, like, because the crowd was so dead and so quiet, you could hear all the things. You can sometimes hear a little bit of what the managers outside are yelling and shouting into the ring.
Right.
But you could hear almost everything he was saying. So just Jamie Noble in his full redneck persona. He's all like, nah, ref, you let him go. He got till five. And everything. I'm just hearing this, and I'm just, like, dying of laughter because Jamie Noble's got such a good mind for, like, antagonizing and everything. He's so good at that.
Hey, listen, I got breaking news that are not going to be so breaking by the time this gets published, but apparently Seth Rollins has something planned for Raw guest star Jon Stewart. So that's confirmed that he's going to be a guest star tonight at Raw.
So
I guess they're doing something. Like, that's happening.
Dude, if he curb stomps Jon Stewart and then, like, Colbert comes out for the save.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
You need to put Colbert only if he comes with, like, one of his items from the wall, like the Captain America shield
The Captain America shield and he blocks the curb stomp. Like,
yes.
He just comes in like goddamn real Captain America.
Oh my god. I stand for truthiness in the American way. I'd book it. I'd like that.
You know, like,
I'm actually amazed that Colbert is not. Is he a wrestling fan?
I don't. Maybe I don't
know. I know Stewart is a huge wrestling fan. I think Stewart is,
and I mean, Don't say think.
He is. He's had Mick Foley deliver promos in the show. He even had a. Remember when Undertaker lost?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Monday after WrestleMania of the Daily Show?
Oh, did they do that on the Daily Show?
He went on a, like, he didn't have a segment or anything. He was talking about, I can't remember what he was talking. He was talking about something from the news, but then he broke off and he was like, and you know what else doesn't make sense? Brock Lesnar breaking the streak. I mean, Undertaker has been a mainstay in the WWE, and he went on a rant, and then he stopped and he's like, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, huh? Like, he is a wrestling fan.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah.
I really liked not only, like, the presentation and, like, the fun of the promo he shot, because he shot a good promo on Seth Rollins after Seth Rollins, like, talked bad about the Daily Show.
Yeah, he better promo than most people in the WWE can do. Like, what?
But on top of that, he showed that he knew the product and everything. He's like, oh, you betrayed the Shield. Like, you're a toady for the authority. Like,
yeah.
All these other things. And, like,
and it didn't sound forced. It didn't sound like he was. It didn't sound like someone fed him the information. Like, it sounded like he knew. Like, again, like, I've seen him. I watched the Daily Show, so, like, I know when he has those moments of, like, he starts talking about wrestling and people, the audience nostalgizes it because, like, most of his audience are not wrestling fans. So he kind of looks at him like, yeah, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
Those damn millennials.
Yeah. They're those Starbucks millennials, so, like, they don't they don't like wrestling.
Nice.
But yeah, so not a bad match. The only good thing about the match really was the return of Randy at the end. Like, and
yeah, which was three times that the crowd got heated up was,
yeah, that was the
was Randy
pop of the
coming
night.
Out. Yeah,
I think that was the pop of the night because I don't remember
the yes spot was probably a little bit bigger.
Oh, at the end.
Because before he fought, Daniel Bryan did that one death yes spot. That was a pretty big one.
True.
But yeah, based on this crowd and overall and everything, I would assume this would be the last Fastlane that we're going to see.
Fastlane, I think, I don't think we're going to see a Fastlane 2016. Like, I think Fastlane is going to be 20. Also, really, the name Fastlane, I get the road to WrestleMania, but did we really have to sacrifice the Elimination Chamber? Like, we're, okay,
here's my question. They need to move the Elimination Chamber to a new month, because it deserves something.
It does, but I'll agree. They do need to move it to a different month. Maybe towards... I don't know where they can put it, though. Because you have the Royal Rumble, you have WrestleMania.
I think you put the Elimination Chamber in Survivor Series. You have that the main event of the Survivor Series for the title.
Yeah, I just don't want
matches around it.
I was going to say, I just don't want them to sacrifice actual Survivor Series matches, because I'm a huge mark for the Survivor Series matches, which you'll hear about later on today. So... I mean, I don't want them to sacrifice one thing for another, because I like both of them. I want them both to coexist. That being said, I do think it was a mistake to put this pay-per-view between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. But at the same time, I'm glad they had it, because they have to do something about the Roman Reigns situation, which I thought initially was going to be something that only happened in SMARC territories, you know, like East Coast or... mainly Philadelphia, places like that. But they were in... Where were they? What was
Memphis.
This? Yeah, they were in Memphis, Tennessee. I mean, this is this is like an old-school wrestling territory. They're not... I'm not used to hearing Tennessee ever boo a face. You know? I'm not used to that at all. So I don't know. I don't know what they can do about the situation with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that could be happening along these last month leading up to the show. Mostly what I'm looking at, though, from this first match's fallout is, like I said earlier, like what is going to be Rollins and what is going to be Ziggler's plans. I mean, the other guys involved, they don't necessarily need to have a spot and probably won't have a spot outside of being, like, outside the ring for anyone's match, but... What do you think ends up happening for Rollins and Ziggler? Do you think Rollins and Orton is pretty much confirmed?
I think that's what judging from the Raw after Fastlane was hinting. I mean, it's hinting at the dissolution of the Authority. If not dissolution, just like chaos within the Authority with Orton coming back.
Orton destroying him from the inside.
Right, like an Orton being kind of like the guy who was wronged by the Authority. You know, he was like the face of the WWE, and like now they have Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins sort of took his spot. Like there's an entire story they can build around, you know, to build a match around. I don't know if they're going to go with it. And if they do, then what happens with Dolph Ziggler? You know, what does Dolph Ziggler do? Because Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins were kind of like the faces of their respective teams. Like, you know, they were kind of like in the same ranking, you know, because Cena was kind of like the higher ranked than Dolph Ziggler. And then, you know, you had like Triple H and the Authority proper as the higher rank of the Authority. And, you know, Seth Rollins and Ziggler were, you know, the co-captains, basically. So what happens with Dolph? Like, does he keep feuding with the Authority? Does he go and feud with someone new? What happens to him? Honestly, I don't care what happens to Rowan and Ryback. Like, just going to put that out there. Nor do I care about what happens with Big Show and Kane. But I want to know what happens with Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler from here on out.
Harsh words, people. Harsh
words. It's not that harsh. It's just, yeah. Speaking of which, okay, before we go to the Goldust versus Stardust, I want to know where is Luke Harper?
You know, I was thinking that exact same thing. Why Eric Rowan's in the match when his typical face-off opponent is Luke Harper?
Yeah, and what is Luke doing? Like, he lost the title from Bad News Barrett, right? Or
he lost it to Ziggler, then lost it to Bad News Barrett.
Hot potato. The hot potato with the IC title is getting out of control. I'm losing track of who's the champion, and that's not good. That's never good.
Well, it's going to stop when Ronda Rousey wins the IC title. And
first, oh wait, no, she won't be the first female performer to have it, but she'll be the first convincingly female performer.
she'll have it and then only appear like Brock. Like she'll do like two shows a year, just like she.
Yeah, she'll be the first. Yeah, she'll be the first part-time IC title holder. She's gonna get paid more than like John Cena.
No, I'm just having fun with this ridiculous booking.
Gold doesn't Stardust.
Yeah, so,
unless you had something else with.
Have anything else for that first match. Gold doesn't Stardust. I really liked the opening promo where Goldust is talking with Dusty Rhodes and Mega telling weird. Him like I have to beat Cody so bad that he'll never think of putting on the Stardust makeup again. Like he'll never be able to handle it again. And then he goes out there and he just wrestles him, and in desperation of like the fact that he'd getting beaten on the entire match, he does a roll up win to escape.
Yeah.
With the win. Yeah. I just didn't think that jived with the story very well. Like,
yeah, I think the problem with Goldust Stardust is the same problem we had that me and you talked about. I think we talked about it in the show where Triple H Orton had this really amazing build up for the WrestleMania match a few years ago. And it was like this brutal personal thing, like Orton, you know, like, punted his dad punted McMahon, punted Shane,
RKO'd and made out with Stephanie.
RKO and made out with Stephanie McMahon in front of Triple H. And then, like, Triple H goes to his house, beats him, you know, throws him out the window, like, you know, glass shattering everywhere. This action movie personal, you know, Liam Neeson taken type story. And then they go out there, and it's like a regular wrestling match. Like, they're not even... Wasn't it a no-DQ match?
That match wasn't no DQ. It was if Triple H is DQ'd or countered out, right. Orton gets the belt.
Right. So like they sort of made it so that he had to wrestle, but he still could brutalize him. And they did a horrible job. Or if anything, I think that was one of those few moments where like, hey, have the face brutalize the heel. The title doesn't matter. Like, you know, like they could have booked it so many different ways, but
yeah,
they're like,
just
we're going to
beat the absolute crap out of him. And
yeah, so they book it in a way where they're having this technical, not a bad match.
25-minute amazing match, but
yeah,
still ridiculous.
But a match, nonetheless, makes no sense with the story. Same thing happens here. You're sitting there like, oh, this is a brother feud. You know, it's a family feud. They're going to beat the tar out of each other. They have an 8-minute, you know, or close to 9-minute match, and it's all technical wrestling. Not one spot of brutality.
Yeah.
Not one chair shot, like, nothing like that. Now, that being said, A, I like the Stardust makeover, how he's starting to look more like Sting. I think you were the one who brought that up.
Yes, he did have a bit of an evolution and everything. I mean, if you think Sting nowadays, you automatically go straight to that crow look, leather mm-hmm. jacket, baseball bat, white face, you know, all that. But Sting,
old school Sting.
Sting, when he, you know, originally came out, when he was, you know, a real big deal, having, you know, tear down matches at, you know, Clash of the Champions with Ric Flair, mm-hmm. He was just, you know, a fit guy. He wore pants, the wrestling pants, and he had, like, the face makeup on his face. Like, he looked a lot like Ultimate Warrior in that way, just, like, no arm tassels and stuff like that. And it wasn't the Warrior symbol, it was, you know, his Sting single.
Yeah.
Stardust had that. He just had the star on his face, you know, trunks. He didn't have like that suit anymore and everything. And it seemed like the crowd and a lot of people like weren't really feeling it. And I felt that way at first. And then I thought, I'm like, this is the evolution of the character. Like, this is a look that could take him to IC Championship again, or
right,
even, like, world level with this new look while still being
right.
Stardust.
Yeah, cause the thing about the Stardust gimmick, the same problem with Goldust and a lot of other gimmicks is that they're believable mid-card wrestlers. Like, you can believe them as IC title holders, US title holders, tag team title holders. But the second you put them in a WrestleMania main event, you can't imagine it. I don't know if it's the way wrestling is wired in our heads, but there's certain looks that just don't work for like a main event level heel or face. And Stardust had that problem. When he was Cody Rhodes, he looked like he could be the main event at any point. When he was just regular Cody Rhodes. When he became Stardust, it became a little harder to imagine that. Now, with the way he's portraying Stardust now, I can believe it. I can also believe, and I'm booking this. You had your fantasy booking with Ronda Rousey, so I'm going to have fun with this booking.
All right.
I believe that Cody Rhodes will be like Mick Foley within 5 years, where he's going to have so many characters that he's going to be able to change into them depending on his feud.
I can dig it.
Like, I guarantee you that he's been the Dashing Cody Rhodes, he's been Dr. Doom Cody Rhodes, he's been regular Legacy Cody Rhodes, he's Stardust now. He has already 4 characters that he can claim as his own, besides his regular persona.
So you think at Royal Rumble 2016, like, Stardust comes out, gets eliminated, he comes back as Dashing.
He can do it. I don't see why he can't do it. He's the only guy in the active roster right now with that many characters.
That's true.
Keep in mind, they've all been over. Name one character that Cody Rhodes did that wasn't over.
Not a one.
He carried SmackDown with 2 characters. Dashing and the Dr. Doom both carried SmackDown for a while.
Dashing was such a great gimmick because of the paper bagging the people was such a good spot. Like, it's classic heel stuff.
Yeah, so I think he can. I think it's possible for him to bounce up from, like, because I remember at first when he started doing Stardust, I was like, oh no. Like, like, this is basically his dude love. And I mean, Mick Foley's Dude Love was still over. Like, when he would come out as Dude Love, people cheered Dude Love. And Stardust didn't even have that problem initially. People still liked the character because he's so bizarre and out there. And if Goldust can work, then my God, Stardust can definitely work. So there's that. And there's the fact that this match is the beginning of the proper Rhodes Brothers feud, which was supposed to have happened, 3 years ago? When Goldust came back?
Something like that.
Yeah, this was supposed to be a WrestleMania feud. Like, way, way back. That Cody Rhodes and Goldust were pitching for. And it never happened. Because I don't know if it was McMahon didn't believe in them. Or I don't know if he still, you know, he didn't want to put Dusty's kid in a WrestleMania profile. You know, high profile feud. Whatever.
I'll let you get made out with Roddy Piper while you're in lingerie. But you ain't wrestling your brother.
Exactly, like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure he still holds the Rhodes in contempt, you know, like, they're employed, but I'm sure there's some contempt here and there. That being said, I think it's time for that feud to flourish. It's not gonna be the feud we wanted properly, but it's still gonna be something.
The only way I can take that, you know, Goldust, you know, took the win and then, you know, got attacked by his brother and beaten savagely backstage afterwards, is if it's building to that WrestleMania match where they're really going to tear it down and you see Stardust, you know, standing strong, like he crushes Goldust.
Yeah, and I want
That's the only story you can tell. There's from Goldust winning.
Here's the other caveat to this story. If they go to WrestleMania, they cannot go as Goldust and Stardust. They have to go as the Dust Brothers. They have to go as Cody Rhodes, and Goldust has to go as... fucking, what's his name? I forgot his name.
Dustin Rhodes?
Dustin Runnels? Or, yeah,
well, Rhodes. His real name's Dustin Runnels. The whole family is Runnels.
But, so Dustin Runnels and Cody Rhodes.
But they Dustin would have Rhodes, the name sorry. As Dustin Rhodes. Yeah.
Yeah, Dustin Rhodes. Like, they need to be out of the face paint for this to work as a serious
I think
feud.
Stardust could stay in it with his new look, but... I think seeing Dustin, like, just as Dustin... would change. Because remember, that was the really big thing when Dustin came back and he fought Randy Orton for Cody's job when Cody got fired by the Authority like a year ago.
Right.
He came back and he didn't have the Goldust makeup. Like, he just fought him like
right.
normal.
And again, I think it makes more sense to have the heel, which is Cody, obviously, be demented, be kind of like Joker-esque, you know, look really bizarre, and have Goldust, which is the self-admitted bizarre one, be the one who becomes normal to try to save the brother. Like, there's so many different stories that could work so well for this, but I don't think we're gonna get most of them. But at least we're gonna get a good match out of them, and that's the silver lining in all of it. Like, you know, you're gonna get a good match out of them, provided that they're allowed to actually have a good match.
Absolutely, and I mean, I'm definitely on the Cody Rhodes train, as said many, many times. Probably my favorite performer currently around.
Yeah.
So I would like to see him get some of the due he's earned.
So about this title match, or tech title match, though, that followed.
So
do you want to talk about it?
So Natalia's a heel now, along with them, I guess. And I assume she's going to be feuding with Naomi?
Right, so the next match was Tyson Kidd and Cesaro with Natalia in their corner, Tyson Kidd's wife, versus the Usos, who were the tag champions when during this match, right? With Naomi. Okay match. I mean, it was a 9-minute tag match. I don't remember anything great about it. If you remember something, feel free. Natalia at the end.
Typical Uso match. Good match. Yeah. Like, there's no point in it where you can go, oh, that sucked or anything. But there's also no point where you can go, like,
that's unbelievable
moment. Like,
yeah.
Everything. And I think it's because they have so many high spots that it desensitizes somehow. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, 250, 275 pound, like, big dudes doing big high spots should be more interesting to me than they are.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's the Usos' fault. I don't think it's Tyson Kidd and Cesaro's fault either. I think it's more of a, go out there and have a decent match. You know, like, I think it goes back to that thing that we were talking about NXT people being told, hey, go out there and, like, wrestle a match, like, however you want it, wrestle it. And the people in the main roster being told, like, we want you to kind of do this. And, you know, don't go too crazy with the spots. We still have 4 more matches during the night, all right? So, I don't know what it is about these matches lately that I'm just not involved. Like, I'm not involved in them. And I should be, because their tag team division should be, by all means, should be a great division. Like, they have good tag teams. It's just they're not using them. They're not using them to their full potential.
All of them just have to be built up so that the Ascension can kill them.
Yeah, and then there's the fact that the Ascension has been treated like a joke. Like, I don't even remember their last match on TV or pay-per-view.
I think
their last match was the DX one, right?
That I've seen, but they've probably fought on SmackDown or Main Event.
Okay, so but think about it this way. Let's say there's someone out there who just watches pay-per-views, right? Like, their version of continuity is pay-per-views, right? The last time they saw the Ascension was when they beat DX. That's it. That's the Ascension. That's so true. To them, the Ascension is...
What I didn't get, what I thought was badly done about this match was... I don't remember Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, like, winning a spot to be the number one contenders.
Which is a problem with
like,
WWE wrestling.
Do you remember that? Like,
I don't. I'm sure
Cesaro were.
I'm sure it happened. And if it didn't, again, it falls back to the WWE never really adhering to certain rules of competition. That's why I like the old, and I think I talked about it, the Ring of Honor, when they first started, they had a system, like a point system, and when you won matches, you actually got points towards your contendership, just like you would in any regular sport where you have to, like, sort of make the playoffs. And WWE once in a while does that with stuff like the Royal Rumble, or, like, when they do King of the Ring, or tournaments for, like, contenderships. Like, they understand that they have to do that sometimes, but half the time they just put whoever in a match for contendership. They just, like, throw people in contendership. Kind of like what's going on with the Intercontinental Championship right now. Like, why is R-Truth going for the Intercontinental Championship? When was the last time R-Truth did something?
We'll get to that. In a match,
yeah.
Too. Let's stay on the tag team train here. One thing I will say, I really think that Tyson Kidd and Cesaro have incredible chemistry together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Not only in their, like, tag team blending and everything, but as characters, that little bit that they did where like the Usos were at dinner and like they attacked the Usos in like the middle of the dinner hall and like
and whatever. I love Cesaro's reaction to it.
Like just laughing like while he's wearing like a robe in the middle of like a freaking fancy restaurant. Like, what the fuck is this? Like and everything. And Tyson Kidd with those goddamn headphones. I love the giant beats. Him with the giant beats. Like they fit his character so well, along with the hoodie and everything. Like those are to Tyson Kidd like cabbie caps are to Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I think they should like market the headphones as like part of his look.
Dude, you know, like they need to make like a WWE brand of headphones and everything. Just call them Kids.
Oh my god. Sold. They have to be equally ridiculous looking, though. They have to be, like, large, like, you know, Beats ones. Like, exactly. Otherwise, I'm not buying them. Yeah.
Exactly. but, like, I would totally buy them. Like, if you told me, like, this is a good product, it's the Kids. I'm like, all right, done.
I'm trying to think of, like, what could you do with Cesaro as far as that? Like, to market him. I can't think of anything.
Give him the name Antonio back. Like...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I really hate that he's just Cesaro.
Just like Rusev. Like, Rusev is Rusev. Like, what happened, I don't understand, like, I understand why a character like Goldust is called Goldust, because, like, you know, that's a character name. That's like it's almost like a stage name. And I know these are all stage names, like, you know, like, I just don't understand why.
Wait, stage name?
Right. Stop. But, I don't understand why people like Tyson Kidd has first name, last name. I know it's not his first name, last name, but he has them.
Yeah.
But Cesaro is just like Cesaro. Like, I don't get that. Same with Paige. Paige is just Paige. Although that one kind of works.
All women's except the Bellas, I think. I don't AJ think Lee. Any of them have a last name.
AJ Lee, Trish Stratus. No. Oh, that was going old. Never mind.
Well, yeah, Trish Stratus, that's a while back, yeah. But
AJ Lee, does that kind of...
AJ Lee's been around for about 10 years, though. I mean...
Has she? 10 years? Has she really been in that long?
She's been in since at least 2008.
Okay, yeah, because that's when... And then she was in the
and she had a female NXT, years right? And other stuff before then, I think.
Huh. Okay. Because she was in the all-female NXT, right? That's where she appeared.
Not as a contestant.
Where did she come from? I know she came from like a game, like one of the we're looking for a new superstar or diva.
AJ definitely was not in the all female NXT because Caitlyn won that, and there's no way Caitlyn would have beaten out AJ Lee.
Well, I think she beat her, and then AJ Lee just sort of like appeared. I'm trying to think.
I'll look into it, but
yeah, I see it here. Yeah, she was one of the six participants in the all female third season of NXT. She appeared in August 31st of 2010. That was her first appearance in WWE TV. Before that, she was in FCW. So yeah, and she had the comic book video game fandom character. Like she was the nerd of the show.
Huh.
Yeah. She didn't win.
That feud with Vicky for the longest time, but
yeah, she was eliminated in November. She survived. Yeah, she was one of the final three.
Huh.
Yeah, and in the throughout the season, she was in a relationship between herself and Primo, but I don't think
they
it actually
are bad at choosing because she definitely. Should have won if, like, we're going with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, remember Jericho mentioned in his podcast how the NXT thing, they don't have any decision-making. It's all, you know, it's all a work, obviously. But, like, the people in the back, like, they decide who's going to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they don't like a certain character, no matter how good they are at wrestling, they're not going to pick them. You know?
Wait a second. In late July, AJ began a brief storyline on NXT Redemption as the girlfriend of Hornswoggle.
Yep. I remember that.
What?
Yep. I remember that. God.
People go through some shitty gimmicks.
Yep. She's gone through a lot. But you're right, though. She started in 2010. So, no, she only has 5 years in the company.
Only 5 years.
Not quite. Yeah. Yeah,
maybe
not
like
quite 10.
A year or two before that.
Yeah, when she was in, she started FCW in 2009. But anyway, yeah, going back to the
back to Kid and Cesaro. Yeah. I really like their chemistry, and this may be a stretch.
Okay.
But for some reason, I keep seeing Eustace Kidd in like Tyson's Kid's new
persona.
Like,
Oh my god, I want that.
I keep seeing it. I don't know if I'm crazy, but like.
No, I see it. I'm seeing it. It's the hair.
It's
the hair.
The hair popping up and the, like, the loudmouth laughing and stuff like that.
I guarantee you if he started putting that, the lipstick on, he would look just like him. Cause Eustace Kid has that.
Yes.
It's the lipstick. If you put the lipstick, it's done. Oh my god. For those that don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about a character from One Piece called Eustace Kid. He's one of the seven supernovas. He's amazing. If you haven't watched One Piece, you're gonna have to wait until we do the One Piece, podcast for that. But.
Yeah, he's definitely probably like the third most popular out there of all of the seven supernovas. Like, definitely number one is obviously Luffy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to sell this for like the people that don't know about One Piece, Eustace Kid is kind of like a
Magneto
and Frieza mixed together. It's kind of like, because he's got that Frieza look to him, you know, with the lips and everything.
But with the attitude and look of Tyson Kid.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't unsee it now.
I never.
Oh my god, it's the he has the same face. He has like he has the sunken eyes, the nose. I wonder if it's no.
There's no way they predate it. That shit. The Tyson Kid character, I want to say that they were the champions in like 2009, which I feel is before he would have won.
I would have
debuted.
I'll have to look. Remind me when we do a One Piece podcast to look this up, because I am very curious right now about this.
Eustace Tyson Kid.
Yeah. My Tyson Eustace Kid. I'm sold.
So Tyson Kid and Cesaro won the WWE Tag Team Championships, defying an internet hacking troll's prediction that he would not win the Tag Team Champions. Do you think this was, like, just purely despite whoever that dude was and be all like, fine, he can have the tag team champion?
I think maybe it's despite, like, their internet wrestling community, how they think Tyson Kidd's been held down and, you know, they think Cesaro, well, and let me rephrase it. I don't think Cesaro is being held down. I know Cesaro is being held down. Because when you have people like Stone Cold, Jericho, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, like when you have all the people.
Yeah, John Cena did just say.
Yeah, John Cena said that Cesaro, what was it? He's the most underrated wrestler. Was that the
underutilized.
The line? Underutilized. When John Cena, your golden boy for the last 10 years, tells you, hey, you probably should start using this guy, and you don't, there's a failure to communicate in the company. There's either a failure to communicate, or there's just like old boy mentality, you know, like that they don't want to push him for whatever reason. Because we know he was over last year. He was over when he did the Andre the Giant memorial. He was over when he did the American, the Real Americans. He was over when he was doing the big swing as a heel. He was doing it as a heel. Getting booze, he would do the big swing, what would happen? Insta cheers. Like, when have you seen a heel be a heel, do his move, and get cheers when he did the move?
When have you seen someone get over with the big swing? So many people have done that, and it's a nothing stupid move, but, like, he's so strong, and he's got such, like, this X factor about him that it works.
I think it's because he looks like Jason Statham.
Like, he does kind of look like Jason Statham.
He looks exactly like him.
I won't go to exactly, but he does look like
him. All right, not exactly. He gives me that vibe when I see him. Like, I believe in him. Like, the same way I believe in Jason Statham.
Is
like,
that
when
like
he's in a movie.
We're always handing him packages and being like, hey, take this here.
Hey, can you take this girl? I mean, she's Chinese and all, but put her in your trunk. Like, what?
She's the package. What? No.
Oh, man. So, decent match. Mostly, we want Cesaro to get pushed more. But I'm glad he's got yet another tag team championship to his belt.
He's got something. At least there's that. But, yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting for, you know, Antonio Cesaro, you know, WWE Championship contender or IC champion or something.
Tell you what. Here's my crazy prediction for next year. From here till next year's WrestleMania, and I swear we'll move to the Divas Championship match. From today, March 2nd, 2015, till next year at WrestleMania, I predict that Cesaro will hold the Money in the Bank. I'm not saying he's winning.
He may cash and succeed, but he
won't. Right, but he's going to hold it. He will be Mr. Money in the Bank.
I can see Cesaro as a good Mr. Money in the Bank.
Oh, dude, his face alone is smug enough to be Money in the Bank.
His face, he's a pretty smug person. But anyways, before we do the women's title match like you alluded to, after the championship match for the tag team titles, we had the face-to-face confrontation, Triple H and Sting.
That's right. I forgot that that was wedged in between there.
This was really good.
Did you see, like, that they were doing a repeat of something that we've seen before? Do you remember?
You're going to have to give me a little bit more.
Okay. Do you remember when Shawn Michaels lost against Taker the second time? Do you remember how they did the building for the match of Triple H versus Undertaker? Do you remember that Monday Night Raw at all?
No, it's not coming to me.
Okay. Undertaker came out. Triple H was in the ring. Undertaker came out for no reason. Like, there was no story. There was literally nothing. Undertaker comes out. Triple H is sitting there like, I don't know what's happening. Triple H is sitting in the ring. Undertaker comes out. You know, lights come back on. Undertaker, I think he takes off. No, he doesn't take off the hat because I think this is when he had done the buzz cut. Maybe. Looks at the sign, the WrestleMania sign, points at it, puts his hands down, leaves. Do you remember that?
Well, I mean, he always does that.
Well,
maybe that's why I didn't remember.
No, but this was the first time he did it where he, like, came all the way out. Because normally he points at it like there's a reason why he's doing it. Like, there's, like, a challenge issued. Triple H had no beef with Undertaker. Like, it just happened randomly.
No, Triple H called him out because he was mad that his best friend was retired. Like,
yeah, but I don't think he called him out like, oh, we're going to have a Mania match. Like, it was just, like, it was... Undertaker was the one who instigated it. Like, he's the one who said, like, let's do this at WrestleMania. And Triple H was even looking at the sign like, wait, what? So I think it's similar to this, except Triple H has obviously been goading Sting for a match ever since Survivor Series. Oh, my God. Has it been since Survivor Series since the Sting thing happened?
Yeah, that was when Sting debuted with WWE.
Wow. Long-term booking for the win.
Since November.
Yeah, so since November, they've been hinting at this match. We thought it was going to be Sting versus Taker, but this is probably a better work rate match. And it has an actual built-in story. So
much better, yeah. And I just really like, I mean, Triple H strong work, great as always. But the point where he goes outside and he's like, I'm getting my trusty sledgehammer and I'm going to show you a thing or two and everything. Instant back to the neck, like,
right.
He's just got the bat to his neck like it's a knife and stuff, like,
yeah. Like, I love
and everything, and he keeps like, WrestleMania.
I love
Sting doesn't talk.
Yeah, Sting. Well, Crow Sting or NWO Sting works better when he's, you know, he doesn't talk. You know, because like he's playing that character. I mean, he's said it himself that he's playing the. Well, Draven, whatever his name was, from the original Crow movie. The first Crow, basically, which didn't really talk when he was, like, doing certain things. Like, he only talked when he met up with the people he was avenging, like, and he would tell them, like, this is me, this is what you did, da-da-da-da-da. So Sting barely talks, and he only talks when he's going to make a point. So if he talks, it's going to be right before the match. Like the Monday Night Raw before the match, he might talk, but it's gonna be like a couple of words, and then that's it. You know, like he doesn't really talk to his opponents.
Yeah. So do you think that the Arrow will be there and you're in the match?
I want Arrow. I want Flash. I want have the DC TV universe to appear in this match. And I want Sting to join the Justice League of America. Damn it!
No, the only reason I'm saying this is because there was a popular viral video that came out where they keep calling Sting the Vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
WWE, it's oh the Vigilante Sting,
yeah.
The Vigilante Sting, and so the actor of Arrow, while in his full Arrow gimmick, Stephen Amell shot a little video and it's like the Vigilante Sting. What? Why did they call him that?
Yeah.
Because on the show The Arrow, they call him the Vigilante, and I think so. It's just a really funny bit and everything like. That he responded to that because he's a huge WWE fan as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, huge WWE mark, like huge. Like I've seen a couple of videos where he hasn't quite called people out. Actually, wait, didn't he call? He called someone out recently, didn't he?
I can't remember who it was,
but he did call someone out. Like I'm not imagining that, right?
No, he did. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so he's huge about it. So if he appeared, I mean, I have no problem with some cross promotion.
See Sting get shot with an arrow and get pinned by Triple H. You're like, what?
Yeah, yeah. So wait,
Arrow's a heel? Like,
yeah.
Working for the Authority? Well, rich, so.
And he does kill people in the show. Like people, he has murdered people in the show. I love the show Arrow. I know you love it way more than I do. But
that's my show.
It always gets me. How brutal the first season is, where he's just like murdering people left and right.
He didn't kill a single person in season 2 or season 3.
Right, but season 1. Season
3, he did a flashback to when he first came back to Starling City and like some drug dealer was selling drugs to his sister. And he's like, you stay away from Thea Queen. And he's like, are you Oliver Queen? And he's like, welp. And he just grabs him and breaks his neck. And I was like, oh shit!
Yeah,
you just saw his face. Guess you gotta
ridiculous.
Die. Like, oh god, he's killing everybody.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh man, I love that bit. But anyways, Sting really needs to be praised more because of the fact that he can build and sell a match without a word.
Yeah,
that's a talent.
Yeah, he's kind of become like the Undertaker without being the Undertaker, because he's a completely different character. Huh? Hold on. I'm just talking about the way he can sell a match. Like, with just lights go out, lights come back on, you know, he's there, and he doesn't have to say anything. He just has to sign. He has to point, and the match is set. And people are hyped for it. But I think also the reason why the people are hyped is because, A, this is going to be the first match that Sting will ever have in the WWE. And it's going to be a high-profile match, because it's, again...
Probably his only match.
Yeah, this might be his only match. Like, we might never get that dream match, which is fine. If I'll take Triple H as the dream match, because, I mean, at the time, they were kind of, like, equal, you know, when Triple H in 2000 was, you know, the game, and, you know, he was the dominant force, the WWE champion. Around the same time, Sting was still relevant, you know, still had a world title reign around that time. So I think it's a fair matchup. I like it as a matchup.
You know, this didn't happen at Fastlane, but it was at the Raw before Fastlane. Triple H's talk with Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When he pushed him.
Fantastic, because he gets in Ric Flair's face and he's like, you are the greatest overall wrestler of all time. You're the greatest wrestler ever. And I always hated it that Sting beat you. Like,
yeah.
And everything like that. Like it's such a petty thing that, like, he's a fan of somebody. He's a friend of somebody. And the fact that that person, like, took his spot, like, he's still mad about that 10 years
later. Right. Like, Ric Flair has let bygones be bygones, but Triple H can't let it go. Like, it's such a great story. Like, regardless of the fact that there's the built-in story with the Authority, regardless of the fact that there's a built-in story of them being in rival companies and being in the top spot already, you know, back in the day, there's also, there's so many elements to it or it can just be like a great match. Where most people, I remember when they announced, like even me, I was like, oh, the only match I want to see is Sting versus Taker. Like that was the only match that you could have sold me on. Like other than that, it was like, no, I don't want to see any other match. Like I don't want to see Cena versus Sting. Like fuck that.
But I really wanted Sting versus Shawn Michaels, but I knew it would never happen.
Yeah, that is quite a dream match, actually. That's another one, but I know that Shawn Michaels is kind of done with wrestling, and I don't even know what kind of shape he's in. Hell, I would have taken Stone Cold versus Sting. That would have been
I'm certain that Shawn Michaels is in pretty damn good shape. I mean, he wrestling does that, like, shape? Hunting show and everything, he's going out and doing stuff all the time. Better shape than Stone Cold? I don't want to shit on Stone Cold.
I just don't want Stone Cold to be like, you know what? This shitty little podcast, they were talking about me. Saying I'm not in shape. Listen here. Sign a flame. Start shooting promos on you.
Dude, I want to shit on Stone Cold. So like, that would be like... the ultimate dream is, if you want me to whip Sign of Flame's ass, give me a hell yeah. I'd be like, hell yeah.
People spam your Twitter like, hey man, like, why are you talking shit about Stone Cold? You're getting death threats and shit.
I didn't talk shit about him. I just said that Shawn Michaels is in better shape.
I'm just saying what I see. anyway. But yeah, good segment. I like the segment. I think it did. It sold the match for me. Like, I mean, I was already sold with it when Sting came and Survivor Series, when he came and got Team Authority to, you know, lose because of his involvement. I was already sold in the match there because I knew, I was like, okay, like, that's a match. Like, that has to be a match. Otherwise, like, how are they not? How is a character like Triple H and Stephanie, who are notorious for being petty, not going to let that go? They're not going to let it go. So I knew that was a match. I just didn't think it was going to be a WrestleMania match, which I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm happy to see it. I mean, I was interested in seeing that Rock Triple H match that they'd kind of been teasing a little bit, but...
Yeah, but at the same time, I've seen that match.
This is great. And exactly.
I saw that match, like...
hundreds of times.
All of 2000... Like, shit, since 1997, right? Yeah. They've been wrestling each other. So, like, who wants that match? I mean, let me rephrase. Who wants to see that match again when you could have a brand new match?
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that, you know, we're running low on new matches with wrestlers that were from that era. Like, we're running low on new combos. Like, this is something that's new that could be good. Because we also don't want to put, like, you know, like, oh, let's have Sting fight, I don't know, fucking McMahon. Like, no, I don't want to see that.
Oh, I never need to see Vince in the ring again.
Exactly.
As much as I love him, I don't need to see him in the ring. And I don't know, man. I really hope I don't see him in the ring against Brock Lesnar.
It sounds like you're shitting on him, on Vince McMahon. You want Vince to run a promo on you too?
Yes, I do want Vince to run a promo on me too. Scion screwed Scion.
You know what? It's because Scion's a millennial. It's a millennial.
I am, though.
Divas match, though.
Divas match. So, roll up, grab the tights.
That was it. It was a 5-minute Nikki versus Paige roll up.
What happened to Paige, man?
Nothing happened to her. Booking happened to Paige. That's what happened to Paige. Like, you can't...
Like, 6 months ago... She was shooting, like, dark promos where she was, like, shitting all over, like, AJ Lee and any other contender that she was...
Nah. Let's go back even further. Go back to, like, her NXT defense.
Well, I'm not even going to talk about NXT.
Because
it's
different
not fair.
Worlds.
It's not fair because it's a completely different world.
Yeah,
like, it's so much better.
It's the developmental. It's so much better than the regular. I still can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, I mean, the peaks of main roster are higher,
mm-hmm.
but it's got worse valleys. But
yeah. I like that. I like that.
But man, Paige is so good and deserves so much more than the way that she's getting. But I mean, like, I don't know, like, it always pisses me off when a face, like, is, like, whining after the match is over to the ref. But the tights!
Oh,
like,
yeah. Like,
you know what? Like, you fucking lost. Like, just, like, run after the other person and, like, beat the shit out of them. That's a face move that I can go, like, ah, oh, awesome. But, like, when the face is like, but the tights! I'm like,
yeah, the uber baby face. That's baby face. Like, you know, like, they're trying too hard to be the good guy. Yeah,
like,
I never,
like,
I prefer,
there's a good guy that just can't comprehend, like,
you know what,
oh,
my
heel
favorite,
cheated? What?
Yeah, you know what my, like, favorite thing a face can do in a situation like that is? The confused face. You ever seen, like, the face that loses, and they're like, how did I, what just happened? And then the crowd informs them, like, dude, your tights got pulled. And, like, they're like, what? Like,
yes.
That's the type of face I like. I like the face that's like, wait. They stole the win? You know, like that, I like that better than I do the, like, they cheated! I should get my title back! You know, like, all that. Like,
Yeah, that, so. I don't know, like, that spot just always pisses me off, but.
Cause then, I also don't like, it depends on the face, like, if a heel cheats, and the face beats on them, then I'm like, that's not really a face move, that's like a spoiled rotten child move, like, I don't want them to be like, like, if they're going to beat the heel for something, it has to be something brutal that happened. That the face.
Oh, no,
ends.
Not to me. Not to
oh,
me.
To, you're like, nah, son, someone cheated. I'm going to beat them.
I don't care what rule went down and everything like that. Like, I'm not watching Dragon Ball Z or something like that and being like, oh, well, he got eliminated in the tournament. And be like, nah, son, jack his jaw up. Like, I don't care if you went out of the ring. You're going to wreck his shit.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, man. But anyway, so yeah, Nikki, still the champ. Bree, still the twin heel, which, whatever. Paige is still the one they're picking on for being pale, or whatever they're picking on her now. I don't know.
Does Nikki get a match at WrestleMania, and who's it against?
I have no idea, and ask me if I care.
Like, is it going to be Nikki versus Bree?
Oh, you know what? The only match that makes sense right now is if it's Charlotte coming up to the main roster and beats her at WrestleMania. That's the only match I'm going to care about. That's it. Figure four.
See that.
Yeah. Figure four leg lock on Nikki Bella. Boom. Done.
Because, I mean, we should be seeing Stephanie versus AJ Lee. We should. Like, that's something we deserve.
I look, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know how Stephanie's feeling about AJ nowadays.
And we should be seeing Ronda Rousey versus Paige or Charlotte.
Do you really want Ronda Rousey versus Paige? She'll fucking crush her.
Dude, Ronda Rousey would crush fucking Awesome Kong. Like, I don't give a shit. Like,
I don't know. That's a big woman.
Dude, Ronda Rousey could fight China in 1996 and tap her ass out in 14 seconds. Like, I don't give a shit.
I can see that. Like, I don't know about Awesome Kong, though.
Dude,
awesome. Wait, what about
Ronda Rousey
what about,
could fight King Kong, and I would
what about
Ronda Rousey.
King Kong, you got shit on me. No, but what about, what was her name? Beth Phoenix. Like,
oof.
Wait, how are you oofing Beth Phoenix, but Awesome Kong, you're like, no selling.
Because Awesome Kong is garbage. Like, just absolute... absolute trash.
Are we going by what we saw of her in the WWE? Because
yes.
If so, I'll agree.
Yes.
Okay. Then yes.
And, I mean, she took them for some money, man. She did one match, and then...
Well, she got pregnant. It's not like she could have planned... Oh, well, wait.
She could have came back after she freaking had the kid. Like, she went back to TNA. Like,
disclaimer, we have no idea what happened.
Like, the true story.
Awesome Kong. Yeah, we don't know the true story. I mean, and we're smashing on, like, a brand new mom, so I'm gonna...
This is fair. Like, I'm not smashing her for having a kid. I'm smashing her for, like, having bad timing. Like,
oh, my God. Oh, lawsuits. No. Anyway.
Terrible. No, but...
So, about that IC title match.
No, I'm not ready for that.
No?
Beth Phoenix versus Ronda Rousey. I mean, I still definitely Ronda Rousey and everything, but that would be like the one match where I would be all like, this is going to be amazing, like, type thing. Because I don't know why. I think Beth Phoenix is like 200 pounds. Like, she's
a big lady. Like, yeah, she. But I mean, it's 200 pounds of like muscle, which is the other.
Yeah, she. You know, she was, I mean, fit.
Her arms are as big as Ronda, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that
like Ronda's entire body is like one arm of Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, because I mean, when you think about it and everything, like Ronda Rousey is 135 and everything. 135.
Yeah, she's a smaller woman.
Firecracker, but
yeah.
Yeah.
How tall is Ronda Rousey?
Like 5'6".
Oh Jesus! So she is like tiny, but you know, again, I'm not gonna tell that to her face because she'll fucking kill me.
You're tiny. Oh my God, my arm.
And then she gives me her number. Like, hey, would you heal up? Nah, I'm good.
Wow. You know, Ronda Rousey's the UFC's Mike Tyson.
I've heard. So do we need to have her as a special referee in a Divas match?
Yes. And then then she will armbar the winner.
Yeah. So basically, okay, we have to book this. So Charlotte has to be Ric Flair's daughter, has to be here at WrestleMania versus Nikki Bella. And then since Nikki Bella has talked shit, was it Nikki or Brie that talked shit about
it? Was Nikki,
Ronda.
Nikki.
Okay, perfect.
Nikki
perfect.
Did an interview and said, I could beat Ronda Rousey in my ring. Ronda Rousey couldn't beat me in my ring.
In my ring. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. First of all, you're not the best female wrestler on the roster, champion
for
or not.
Real. Yeah, like like Charlotte is the best female wrestler right now, I think.
I would still say AJ. I would still say AJ Lee's the best female wrestler.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I like AJ as an overall package, but as a pure wrestler, I really like Charlotte.
Well, I mean, can she do, you know, like chain wrestling the same way and everything? But I mean, like, AJ's got a different style and everything, but I mean,
true.
Like performance draw ability, like match skill, promo ability. Full package that's bigger than AJ Lee.
I was gonna say if we're doing full package, then yeah, AJ. Like it's not even fair.
I mean, I guess we're having the best ever argument between like Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair and everything. If you're talking about only in the ring, Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels. Oh yeah.
Overall, like everything that they did, Ric Flair,
yeah,
and everything,
especially promos. Like Shawn Michaels, this is not a smash at Shawn Michaels, but if we're comparing promos, then yeah, Ric Flair shits all over Shawn Michaels.
Oh, absolutely,
him.
I loved the old, you know, Heartbreak Hotel vignettes, and you know, Shawn Michaels can sell a great promo, but he's never going to be on like the short list of like the top 10 greatest talkers of all time.
No, not even close.
He would probably crack maybe like the top 30, maybe.
Yeah, top 30, top 50
for sure, but maybe top 30. And everything. And I mean, just so people know that, you know, I'm not shitting on Shawn Michaels or anything, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is Randy Orton. That motherfucker's nowhere near the top 50.
He has moments when his promos are really good, and then the rest of the year he just like, I think he spends all his energy in one promo a year, and then after that he's like, all right, I'm good.
Randy Orton's best promos are like when he breaks kayfabe and just acts like an asshole to somebody in the middle of the ring. Like,
yeah. Stupid. And to this day, Kofi Kingston has not been able to recover from that. Like, he's a New Day. You think that's an accident? Like, that's straight up Randy Orton, son.
Kofi went to Vince, like, the day Randy Orton was, like, put on the timeout roster and everything to film his movie. He's like, so, Vince, I was thinking about this New Day.
New Day?
Like, what? He's like, you're going to be in the New Day. No. I was thinking, since Randy's not around, I could... New
Day. And you're going to be there with Big E, and you're going to be there with Xavier Woods, and it's going to be great.
I don't like
what?
That you say Big E.
Big E. Oh, that's right. Wait. Is it Big E? Big
it's,
E?
It's Big E, but you say Big E. I don't like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, I call him Big E. Yeah, I do say Big E, like Biggie Smalls. Like, I refuse to call him Big E.
Big E?
Like, no.
Biggest smile?
Langston. Langston's gone. Like, got trimmed with the fat.
No, his name's
Yeah.
Like, you can have a first name or a last name. You can't have both.
Yeah, you can't have both. Sorry, bruh. Can't have this junior shit. No.
imagine if freaking, like, John Cena came out and everything. They'd be like, we're just going to call him Cena. Cena.
Cena. That would be so weird. I can't even, yeah.
Like, it sounds dirty. It's wrong.
It sounds dirty. Yeah, and he has, like, such a, like, John is such a, like, I guess for lack of a better term, such a, like, American name.
American.
Like you immediately think, like, hero when you think John, you know, like, it, especially in the context of wrestling. Same with Kurt Angle. Kurt. Kurt is a very, like, America totally name, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. Shit, Daniel Bryan, sometimes it feels like that too. Daniel. Daniel's, I think it's the biblical name thing. Huh?
Say that again?
Daniel.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Daniel.
Daniel?
I was like, who the fuck is Daniel?
Daniel. D-E. Ooh, there you go. Let's rebrand him. Daniel Bryan.
It's just going to come out Daniel choking with, like, two fucking Great Dane dogs. And
yeah. Wait. Is German?
It's like, what is this new gimmick? And Daniel Bryan.
Oh, my God.
I breed the finest dogs.
If we're talking about shitty gimmicks, it's because we really don't care about the shenanigans of the IC title match. I know I didn't.
I have professed
your hatred.
Internet can, like, flame me whatever it wants. I am not on the Dean Ambrose train. He's too much of a cartoon character. It's too silly. His offense and everything, like it's weird. People complain about people who, like, don't sell well enough.
Right.
Dean Ambrose sells. But, like, he sells in, like, these weird-ass ways. Like, he had that ambulance match with Bray Wyatt, mm-hmm. and he'd taken a bunch of leg damage. So he's limping, and he's selling that limp. But he's standing on top of the ambulance, and he's going to do a big elbow. And he's limping his leg, and so he does this thing where he punches his legs a bunch of time, and then he, like, stomps, and he's like, oh, it's perfect, and then he jumps off and he does the elbow. It's like, mother, what?
So he's Luffy? He was using his gum fruit?
What? Exactly. Like, like, you're not Bugs Bunny. You can't just be like, oh, push the...
Well, maybe he is.
back into your leg, like...
Listen, man, this is the same universe that has a guy who's literally a zombie walking around, like, and has a guy that's possessed by some weird swamp demon. What else is a weird character? The Boogeyman, for God's sakes. Like, like, I think we can accept a guy like Dean Ambrose. I'm not saying I approve of what they're doing with him. I'm just saying I can accept it. Just as fine. Like, He doesn't strike me as nearly as oddball as he does to you. He does do some Looney Tunes shit, though. I will admit to that. Like, my favorite spot that he does is straight up Looney Tunes.
The fallback, the rope. The ropes, and the
yep,
counter.
That's, that is straight up. That is straight up Looney Tunes, Luffy rubber shenanigans. No going around it. Like, but I like it. Yeah,
I hate that.
Yeah. I like it visually. I like how it sounds when he's done with it. Like the freaking clothesline from
you
hell.
You know what he should do? That nobody does this since. And what I think he should do instead. Do you remember Ted DiBiase Jr. Would do this chasing clothesline? Like, you know how normally, like, you throw the person off the rope?
Oh, you're talking when he's chasing them behind. Yeah, he's behind them.
And then you bounce off the ropes, and as they're coming, you're coming at them, and you clothesline them. You know how that's, like, the typical thing? Ted DiBiase would do this thing where he would throw you into the ropes, and then he would run the same way as you.
Yeah.
And so you would bounce off the ropes, and then you'd come, and you'd see no one was there. You'd turn around, bam, big clothesline.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that spot was so cool.
What happened to Ted DiBiase Jr.? Now you made me miss him.
Ted DiBiase Jr., I believe, just decided that wrestling wasn't for him. He's becoming a minister like his father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair point.
So, I mean, you know, he just decided that he didn't want to do it no more.
It's going to be a weird, like, hey, man, I saw you in the network. In your britches, like. Like, would explain that, boy?
Just passed it.
Yeah, Pastor, what were you doing with that Marie's girl? Like,
oh, man. You was there. You was wearing that belt with the $1 million. Woo. That Goldust fella took it from you. He took it.
That Goldust, is he a what do you call him, a homosexual?
do you think that's okay?
My God, I almost spit water everywhere on my keyboard.
Oh, man. Gosh.
So anyway, so Bad News Barrett, which God bless you, Bad News Barrett for being relevant again. I really hope he doesn't get injured, because every time he's relevant again for more than like 2-3 months, by month 5, he's injured.
Always.
Or and something happens.
It's so unfortunate for him. Because like he was like in the world title picture against Cena and everything. He was, you know, leading big runs and everything and had the core. And then he came back with this Bad News Barrett gimmick, and it was really good, and he was quite hot with it. And
it was just funny.
Fell off.
And I love how have you heard the story of how the Bad News Barrett gimmick came about? He talked about it to Jericho, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. The podium, how it was supposed to be like tall, but then Vince made it taller, and he's like, that's not what I had in mind, Vince.
He's like, I gotta climb up this.
Yeah.
<ridiculous."> Too much, Vince.
Yeah, Vince, he basically sold it to Vince like, oh, this is going to be great. And Vince is like, we're going to do it bigger. And by God, they did it bigger. So I'm hoping, because also he's still the champ, right? Like,
he is like the champion, yes.
So Bad News Barrett won by disqualification. Dean Ambrose stole the title. And because he's a face, you know, they don't say that they stole the title, which I think is bullshit. Because they did the same shit with,
Well, JBL said it.
Well,
JBL is the voice of truth on Raw.
I know, but like, that's the thing that irks me. The heel shouldn't be the one telling you that something got stolen. Like, the face commentary should be like, yeah, he stole it. But because they're so weird, like, if you're a face, you can do whatever and not get called out on it. Because they did the same thing with Alberto Del Rio a while back when, who stole his limousine? Sheamus. Remember he stole the limousine, and they're like, nah, he just borrowed it. And I'm like, all right, like that's not what happened. Like, he stole it, he carjacked him.
I'm sorry, you said Sheamus, and I started thinking of that like misreading lyrics video.
The lobster head.
The lobster head.
Too many
Drive
lines.
It straight to hell. Like him in Alberto Del Rio's limousine, like. Too many lines.
Thanks for insane. No, you just YouTube it. It's Sheamus misheard lyrics, hilarity.
It's absolutely hilarious. You need to see this.
But so I forgot. Sheamus. So yeah, I don't like when they basically, if you're a face, you can steal, you can cheat, and like the face commentators don't like. They're like, nah, nothing happened.
The only face that worked for was Eddie Guerrero, because he flat out told you that he cheats, he lies.
That's why I liked it, because and I mean, the commentators were then talked to themselves like, oh, he's cheating, and, you know, JR or like even Michael Cole would be like, well, he does say he lies, cheats, and steals, so what do you want me to do about it? But I don't like this weird thing where it's like, oh man, Dean Ambrose, you know, he lost, but and he took the title, but he's not stealing it. He's borrowing it. Like, I hate that.
He's gonna give it back.
Yeah, he's gonna give it back, kiddos. Like, it's no biggie. You can do that. You can take something from your buddy, and you know,
as long as somebody promised and did return my car, I'd still be pissed if somebody just took off with my
car. Yeah, like, I hate that. I hate that they do that. And it's only WWE that does this weird thing where, like, oh, the faces can do no wrong. So, like, they commit all this, like, heinous crimes. And it's like, oh, it's cool. He's the hero. He can do that. But if the heel holds tights in a match, they sell it like they just murdered and raped a whole village. You know? Like...
So,
I don't get that.
WrestleMania, I think we're going to have to see a lot of people doing double duty, because if they're having the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which was a 30-man over the top, you got 30 men in that, and then they're also having the multi-man, they haven't said how many, but the multi-man ladder match for the IC belt. So, like, for sure in that, you've got to have Wade Barrett, Bad News Barrett, Dean Ambrose and R-Truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have at least those three. Like, however many more they add, like, I hope he only fights the, like, cartoon characters. Like, I hope he fights Mizdow, R-Truth, Dean Ambrose. Who else is silly? Like, you can't have Goldust or Stardust in there because they're supposed to fight each other.
Right, yeah. I think they already have plenty, you know?
Yeah.
I think six, because I think it's six or eight that they're, it looks like they have.
The new doink.
I think... Psych Rider. No. I think they have plenty.
The bunny should be in that match.
There you go. The bunny and what's
Adam name? Rose.
Yep. There you go. Done and done. All right. So
about next, about that tease, man. No, before Rusev, they had a great tease. The lights went dark. The druids came out. They chanted.
Oh, that's right. The Bray Wyatt spot.
They carried out the casket, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh shit! Like, this crowd is so dead. This crowd is so boring and awful that they were like, God damn it, Taker, get out there, go do something. Like, and they bring it out, and I'm like, oh shoot, Taker. And then it pops open. Ah, troll.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt
with. An amazing promo.
I think we can stop saying that Bray Wyatt does amazing promos. Like, that's a given now. Like,
yeah. Bray Wyatt is, in my opinion, of the current roster right now, the best promo man on there. Not counting Paul Heyman.
And I'm going to include even the NXT crop there. You know, I think I'm going to include the NXT crop there.
Personally, and I don't think a single guy on the NXT crop, I think that's what their developmental is. I don't think any of them are tremendous promo people.
I think I like Sami Zayn when he's not the happy-go-lucky guy, when he had that thing with Adrian Neville.
I mean, Sami Zayn, his are good. Adrian Neville, his are okay.
Okay, yeah.
Kevin Owens, his are good. Charlotte's, they're pretty good. Bailey's are okay. Sasha Banks are great. Tyler Breeze, okay. Hideo Itami, definitely.
Tyler Breeze, they're just mostly funny. Like, in the sense of, like, what he's saying to people. It's funny.
Uggos. Yeah. but Bray Wyatt, like, those promos, like, when you're looking at a short list of six guys who have free reign in their promos...
Yeah.
Like, there you go. Like, there's your proof that Bray Wyatt's, like, one of the best promo guys around.
Yeah, he's definitely...
And in my opinion, the best sans Paul Heyman.
Yeah, and I'm not including Paul Heyman because the only thing Paul Heyman does is do promos. Mm-hmm. So I'm not counting that. Because this is a guy who not only does promos, but he also has to, you know, perform a good match. And, you know, he has a hit or miss here and there, but for the most part, I think he's solid, especially for the type of character that he is. You know, he's very Mankind-esque in the way mm-hmm. that he wrestles too, kind of savage. You know, he has, like, that body type too, except that
I think
Bray
he's
Wyatt,
in better shape than Mick ever was.
Oh, no, yeah. He's definitely in better shape. And he also, you know, can do power moves, which I appreciate. A character...
Those are jacked on that.
Yeah, character. Like, his moveset is very, like, brutal, you know, and it shows off that he's actually a strong person. So he's not just a monster for the sake of being a monster. Like, he can still do things that you're like, oh, my God, like, did he just, like, destroy Cena with that move? So I like that. And I'm very hype if this match happens, which I don't see why it shouldn't. But
well, it's definitely going to happen.
Match.
I mean, yeah. At the Raw the next time, Taker did not show up.
Right.
But they put out a picture on Instagram of him training.
Yep.
And he was wearing the coolest goddamn shirt I've seen in years. he was wearing an old school Mike Tyson Kid Dynamite t-shirt.
Yep.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
I
seen that and I was like, that's very strange.
I was like, he's wearing the Tyson t-shirt? Like Tyson was called Kid Dynamite when he was in the Olympics.
Right, like,
and
way back
for
then.
Some reason in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Like,
yeah.
Other than that, like, he was called the baddest man on the planet and all his other nicknames.
The bad boy, you know, all these other things. Iron Mike, you know?
Iron Mike, yeah. Rapist.
Still my favorite. I still think that was, like, the best and only nickname he should have ever had.
Iron Mike?
Oh, yeah.
For me, Kid Dynamite. I just love that. Like,
well, when he was, you know, kid, it's kind of like my thing with Shawn Michaels. It's like, oh, he's 50 years old. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Like, nah, man, you're the Heartbreak Turd, man. You old.
It's all like, you ain't the Heartbreak Kid. You the leg break man.
You the heart attack old nigga.
Whoa.
He is old, though.
He's only 45.
I know, but he shouldn't be calling himself Kid.
Well, I hated don't think that. After he left, he hasn't wrestled in like 6 years.
I know, but like when he, dude, I'm talking about like 2000 when he came back after his back was broken and whatever. Like I was done with him calling himself a kid. Like I was done. Yeah, like since then I've been like, nah, man, you're not a kid.
Nah, son, I ain't saying HBK never.
I ain't saying Michael, I want to. I ain't saying I want to see you with HBK, but. I'm saying he owed.
You can be Mr. WrestleMania. You can be the Heartbreak Mister, fella. I can't.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn.
But anyway, this match, though. Let's preface this by saying that this is one of the best matches of the night, and I never thought I would be saying this about Rusev.
No. Before that, we're still done on Bray.
Oh, Bray, oh, there was Wyatt. Something else.
The last thing I have to say, Bray Wyatt said, Taker's beaten, he's crumbled, his body was broken by Brock Lesnar, his streak was broken by Brock Lesnar, Bray is going to collect his soul. Bray has to win this. Like I'm putting that as my prediction, is Bray Wyatt is beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he has to beat, like, there's two reasons why he has to beat him. One, they've booked Bray Wyatt strong for the last, 4 months, 5 months, where he's beaten, he's been solid, consistently built as a monster, right? Not only that, what was his last WrestleMania match? And his only WrestleMania match?
John Cena.
And he lost against John Cena. You cannot be a monster heel if you have two complete losses against two people who are like, Undertaker's kind of past his prime. And by kind, I mean he is past his prime. John Cena has been, like, you ever notice, or not ever notice, but, like, John Cena has been sold now as the old dog of the WWE. Like, that's how they're doing it. Like, they finally kind of came to terms that John Cena's, like, older.
They just started doing this with Rusev. And that's why I think, and you're going to hear my prediction on this one. I kind of alluded to it last time, but of what's going to be happening in that Rusev match. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
You think?
Oh, yeah. I think Rusev crush.
Oh, you're on the boat. You're on board?
Domination.
You're on board.
I was on board last month.
But remember when you weren't, though?
Yeah, when I thought that Mark Henry, the destroyer.
I know, I'm going to give down. You, I am giving you shit for that until the day you die. Like, hey, remember when you thought Mark Henry, of all people, was going to take on Rusev?
And then he cried.
He cried at the national anthem.
And then at the end of the match, when Rusev won, that dude covered his son's ears. He's like, no. Can't listen to the Russian anthem.
Don't listen to this, son. You can't.
Don't make you Russian.
So horrible. So horrible. But yeah. So you're on board with him now. I think
Rusev beats Cena.
Now, questionably. Do you think, because, okay, they had a good match. Their match was great. You know, good spots, good. I think they even had, like, a moment of chain wrestling, didn't they? Or counters?
A little bit. That's definitely Rusev's weak point.
Right, which, but again, you know, for a guy who's as green as he has been portrayed, not bad. Not a bad outing, you know, with Cena.
Great match. I thought it was a great match, but.
So, are you okay this is going to WrestleMania, obviously. Like, that's the story here. Like, the story, and the story is actually the United States Championship. Like, for once in the life of this championship, like, the story is that people are, want to, you know, bring it home or whatever, which I thought should have been the story a while ago. Remember, I was saying that Rusev should have this title. Like, this title should be in Rusev's hands. So, A, the title's being elevated. B, do you think at WrestleMania, because this match is happening, are you okay with it being a win via cheating, shenanigans, heel? No? You think it's going to be clean?
It's going to be clean. If anything, if there's any sort of shenanigans, they're going to have Nikki in like a face roll at ringside or someone else at ringside for Cena. And they're going to recreate the Bob Backlund Iron Sheik and have him just pass out in a clean one. Cause he passed out this time.
Right.
And lost and everything. Like he lost, but it was a dirty loss because of the low blow. And then he passed out while in the accolade. He's going in the accolade clean and he's passing out and somebody's throwing in the towel. Or he's going to pass out and like be beaten. Or he's going to tap out. And I think the most powerful is he's going to tap out. But no matter what, the match is ending purely clean. Rusev taps him out.
So you think this is going to be the Brock Lesnar moment at WrestleMania last year?
The shocker.
Yeah, the everyone in the crowd is going to be like, what? With Cena tapping?
You know, I think
Cena tapping would be the...
Cena tapping would be the shock. Him actually giving up.
Yeah.
Everything, because he'll never... I don't think he's ever tapped out since he won the title.
Correct, right.
If I'm wrong. But
I think he might have never actually tapped out before. I think he might have passed out, but I don't remember.
He tapped out before he won the title because of Angle.
Yeah.
But once he won that championship from JBL, I don't remember a single time he tapped out. Because he was the man who broke the Master Lock Challenge. He was the man who, you know, escaped, you know, this and that and everything else. Like,
yeah. Like, he's been built as the guy that you can't submit.
Yeah. Like, I've never seen him tap out.
Yeah.
But...
So him tapping out would be, like, that would be how you build your Rusev.
And, I mean, if they're smart, they have Lana the very next night saying... You're John Cena. He can no longer say never give up. That would be so in the face of
that would be jarring.
Cena
for like,
was like, yeah, like John Cena tapped out. Like he gave up. He didn't, you know, pass out in the hold. Like the pain was too much type thing.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, I mean, I like the finish with, you know, the low blow. And again, I don't think we see enough heels do low blows in current WWE.
I haven't seen a low blow in years.
Yeah, like, remember in the Attitude Era, like, a low blow was, like, every other match had a low blow? Like, I mean, it was pretty common for a heel to do low blows. Like, especially Ric Flair, I swear to God, Ric Flair had the best low blow in the business. Like, he looked like he just, like, destroyed you.
Oh, great. And I would always love when Ric Flair would, like, have the guy in like a headlock or something like that, but like in a side headlock where he's in front of him. And then he'd like go to the ref. He's like, ref, check the time. And the ref would like turn back. And like when the ref turned his back, he would do the like no look kicking into the groin, like kick that dude. Oh man. Mm. Ric Flair was so smooth in controlling the ring for his cheating.
Yeah. So I like the ending. I like I love how Rusev did the accolade.
I like how he now stomps you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which makes sense. I like it. Like I always thought that was when the Iron Sheik did it, because I thought really the last person who did it where it was convincing, I guess, or unless you want to count Muhammad Hassan, but he didn't really. But
Muhammad Hassan like body type, like Sheik was just a big bald bull, like.
Right, a big guy. So, like, when him being
Rusev
on you...
like, a big dude. Like, Muhammad Hassan, like, I never really got why...
No one could just, like, step up?
Exactly. Why they couldn't get out of that. Like, with Rusev, I'm like, goddamn, like, it's going to be a fight to get out of this thing. Like, Rusev's a big fella.
Yeah, I don't. I'm trying to think of like anyone else who's done it, and I'm coming up blank. But yeah, you're right. Like Rusev and Iron Sheik being, you know, big bull man, like it works for them being on, you know, stretching you like that, because it looks. I actually felt sorry for John Cena there for a second when he was doing it, because it looked like it hurt. It looked like it hurt a thousand fucks. Like, I was like, nope, like, I am not, I don't care how much you pay me. Like, oh, hey, we're going to have Rusev, you know, do the accolade on you. Nope, we're not doing that. Have him do the super kick. I'll sell the shit out of the super kick. I'm not selling, and by selling, I mean I'm not taking the accolade, because that looks like...
Dude, I would tap so damn fast. Like,
yeah, that looks utterly painful.
As soon as he was behind me, I'd be like slapping my hand to the
be like, nope.
Be like, no, no.
So yeah, that
get
was
your hands off my chin.
Yeah, match of the night. The crowd didn't really respond the way, like, I don't know. I felt like there should have been more jeering.
Now I get the implications that it was for the number one contendership. Why Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns closed the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think this is a missed opportunity they've had several times throughout this time. With Brock Lesnar being a sometimes champion.
Okay.
And not being on the card and everything, you can't close the show with the title like it should always be.
So you think they should have been closing with the IC or the US title?
I think the US title match should have closed the show and everything. I mean, in this case, it makes sense because
Cena.
You had the cheat win, making it not a good closer for the U.S.
Right,
and you had the DQ win being a not good closer for the IC. So I get it in this case, but like there are other cases where you could have gone like, oh, the Intercontinental Championship like is headlining a pay per view, like that is the prize. Type thing, yeah. And that would be what would be making your belt matter. Like, Ziggler never should have dropped it. Like, he should have had a healthy reign as, you know, an amazing Intercontinental Champion. And
you know what's sad? That the last big mid-card reign was Dean Ambrose, the U.S. title reign that he had. Because he held that title for a long time.
Two
he never
years
defended
ago?
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And all
was
he
it
ever
two
did, even... Oh, I think so. A year and a half or two.
Okay.
And I mean, you think about it, because a year ago, the Shield was already like busted up pretty much.
Yeah. You're right. They busted up after WrestleMania.
Yeah. But
because they had that WrestleMania match with DX or whatever. Can't remember who they fought. It was a throwaway match.
It wasn't DX, but.
Who was it?
It was because they fought Evolution at the pay per view after WrestleMania, but my thing with that is that's the last time that you had like a real serious one, and even then, like he had a long reign, but he didn't make the U.S. title matter because he was always doing the Shield's 3-on-3 matches and stuff.
Right.
So like,
yeah, he was never like involved in the in the division, I guess.
So, like, Rusev is making the U.S. title matter by being a dominant heel. Like,
right.
Barrett should be making it matter, but they're doing this, like, wishy-washy, and he's only had it back for, like, a month, and he's already, like, scared of Dean Ambrose, and, like, he's going to be fighting, like, 8 competitors. Like, Barrett better retain at WrestleMania, or they better have some serious plans of whoever does win at WrestleMania. Like... Yeah.
I don't know. The IC title has been booked so inconsistently for like the past, I don't know, 5 years that it's really hard. Like once you think, oh, they might care about it. Like last time I remember thinking, oh, they care about it was when Cody Rhodes brought back the white title.
Honestly, that was the last time that the IC belt mattered was Cody Rhodes' reign as IC champion. Cause like he was against, you know, major contenders like, you know, Rey Mysterio. Stuff like that. So, I mean, it was really cool in that aspect. But,
yeah.
I mean, before that, what, like, Chris Jericho in 2006?
Which, again, that was, dude, that's forever ago.
Exactly.
That's like 9 years. Oh my god. Yeah, we need to yeah, they need to do something about that. They really need to do something about that.
They definitely gotta shape up. But
Roman Reigns though.
Tonight,
the Roman Reigns train, baby.
I liked the finish a lot. I liked it a lot. He rushes right in with that big, like, going for the big knee, and he just gets creamed with a very nice spear.
Oh yeah, that spear, that was some edge spear right there. Like,
Roman Reigns' spear has a bad habit of being garbage. Like,
especially, like, I think what it is that his spear sometimes look like, it looks like a weird headbutt sometimes.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, like,
spear has a terrible habit of being garbage, and this one was on point, dude. This one was great. And he laid into it, and I know you were happy that he didn't win with that Superman punch.
Now,
I
remember, I like the move, I don't like the name. The move is fine, it's the name that I have the problem with. I actually was bummed out that it wasn't the punch that won the match.
Really?
Yeah, I like the punch. I love the punch. I just don't like that they call it the Superman punch. I'm ready for a different name for that thing.
But he's Superman.
Yeah. None of that Superman garbage.
Roman.
Super Rome. Nah. Super Reigns. There you go. Super Reigns. I can get behind Super Reigns. Maybe.
Super Reigns.
But I do, again, like, this is really the only way this could have gone. You can't, I mean, you can have Daniel Bryan being another main event at WrestleMania, but this is like a repeat of what happened last year, where people were bitching about someone's spot. And with Batista, it made sense, because Batista had, you know, been gone, and, you know, he was doing his own thing. Like, you can't just put him in a title match, you know, coming back at the Rumble at number, what, 25, 28, whatever.
Yeah, he was. But it didn't cost $193 to see Batista.
This is, actually, you don't know that. How much, especially now that he's, you know, Mr. Drax the Destroyer. Shit, it might cost more.
He's the Kurgan.
Yeah, like, it might be more, so I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know if the Roman Reigns hype is going to work out in the end, but this was the only way you could have done this, because
I think Bryan versus Lesnar would have been a fantastic match.
Oh, no, yeah. But do we want Daniel Bryan to be the guy to inherit all the accolades that Brock Lesnar has achieved for the past year?
And, I mean, does Roman deserve it? You know, maybe not.
He doesn't. Okay, here's my thing. Here, hold on, because people might misconstrue what I'm saying here. Daniel Bryan is already made. Daniel Bryan does not need being made. He's over like Rover. He's been over since like 2007, 2008, whatever. Whenever he was in ROH, he was over
the IWC. Like, he's been over in WWE since like
I understand.
2011.
And he's been over since he started doing that yes thing. He's been over. The WrestleMania when he got knocked out, the 10-minute thing with 17 Sheamus.
17 seconds.
Like, that crowd was ready for a Daniel Bryan title reign that lasted longer and that you know, had good matches at WrestleMania. They were robbed of that. They were given that at WrestleMania last year when he had two matches in WrestleMania, which, by the way, please regale me with the knowledge. How many people have done two matches at WrestleMania where they were booked to be that dominant?
The only one I can think of is WrestleMania 4, the tournament.
Right. Which was Macho Man.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. So,
Brian's kind of rocking that Macho Man look lately.
Yeah. So, what I'm trying to say is that Daniel Bryan is now in a category of his own. He's in Macho Man category. Like, he's already built. Like, you don't have to build Daniel Bryan anymore. You know who needs building? Roman Reigns.
Reigns.
He's building. He needs something. He needs what John Cena got with JBL. Like, John Cena wasn't anything until that JBL win. Like, yeah, he had a U.S. title reign, but John Cena wasn't, like, he wasn't someone who was main event status until he was the one who defeat JBL's 1 year reign. This is the same story. They're telling the exact same story. It's a little, you know, it's a little different because you have someone who's more realistic as a monster. because, you know, JBL was, you know, always cheating and whatever. Like, Brock Lesnar doesn't need to cheat, which makes this even better, because when Roman Reigns actually beats him, he's going to look better, unless the crowd just doesn't accept it. Like, and this goes to how is the crowd at Levi Stadium going to react to this? That's really what it's going to come down to.
I'll tell you this. There's going to be at least two people who are going to be a good crowd members.
Oh, I'm going to, dude, like, as soon as I see, I want to see that punch. Like, I want to see him, like, counter, like, an F5. Oh, my God. If he counters an F5 with a punch.
Oh, my God. Like, spinning out of the F5.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
That would be amazing. That would be a great spot.
Yeah, if they practice it enough, like, tell me that doesn't, like, visually, if that would not be a WrestleMania moment.
That, yes. Yes.
Like, ever since this matchup has been, like, built, you're like, yeah.
Yes.
Dan O'Brien here. No. The minute that this was, like, cemented, I was like, there's only one finish to this match. In my head, there's only one finish. F5 becoming a Superman punch. That is the only finish I'll accept.
I don't know about that being a finish. I think that's like the big...
Or a big spot.
Soft tease.
Like the big...
Near fall in the middle of the match.
Like, oh my God, he got out of the Superman punch.
Because the finish has to be either the spear or a new move. And honest to God, like, Roman Reigns desperately needs a new move.
Yeah, he does.
Of some sort.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he hasn't really utilized the power bomb. I'm not sure that he
powerbomb
Lesnar.
I guarantee you he can, but I don't want it to be a powerbomb. He has to have like a new submission or something else, like a power move.
Guys like Roman look stupid as shit whenever they go for a submission. Like
Cena with the STF.
Cena's STF, he at least does it so that, like, he's selling enough stuff. Like,
he's selling, but it looks like garbage. It looks like he's not... It looks like he's just laying there with them.
He at least has, like, a cool setup and everything, and he's like, and all sorts of stuff. Like, but could you... But, like, imagine this. Like, as much as you're knocking Cena using the STF, imagine for 1 second Roman doing the STF.
I want to see it just to see how he would...
It
look
just disagrees
it.
with your face, like you're like, I don't know. I could go into WWE 2K15 right now, create a wrestler, augment him to have the STF, and I'm pretty sure the game would just be like, "Are you sure?"
Yeah, like nah, son. Like nah. You don't want this.
Don't do this.
It was a clean finish. I don't remember there being any weird shenanigans. Was there?
Clean, and I really liked, they did it a little bit more the next night, but I really liked how Daniel Bryan just got right in his face, and he pushed him in the chest, and he's like, you beat him
at
WrestleMania.
I love,
beat him. Like,
I think this is the Dragon Ball fan in me, or the Shonen fan in me, that I love when wrestlers do this thing where, like, they all want to beat the heel, and they're fighting for the privilege of beating said heel, and when one of the faces loses, like, a face-to-face, because this is, you know, face-tweener, face-face, you know, depending how you picture it in your head, but I love that the really pure face is sitting there going, like, okay, I lost, like, I can't do it, it's up to you, like, you have to do this for us. I like that he's not like, man, this should have been my title, you know, like, he's not doing that,
all our hopes.
Yeah, like, he's, Roman Reigns, I'm gonna give you my energy for this spirit Superman punch you're gonna do.
Oh my God, if Roman Reigns hits the friggin' Superman punch and, like, Lesnar's down and Roman just puts his hands up, I'm putting my hands up in the sky. I'm just gonna be all like, take my energy, Roman.
Hey, here's what I want to see.
Get him that hanky dama, son.
Remember how I said, you know, F5 into Superman punch? Nah, son, that's the middle spot. The last spot, he does the cocking of the hand, puts his hands up, half the roster comes out on the main stage, and they put their hands up. and he just, like, puts his hands back down after, like, absorbing their energy, cocks the hand again, boom, Genki Dama Superman punch. What's up?
I'm down for it.
Yeah, but it only works if, like, Daniel Bryan gets in the mic. Everyone, give him his energy.
No, like, you have to have like the Vegeta do it first. Like, you have to have like Orton. I don't know, like Orton. Seth Rollins is having this thing against him and everything. He's like, give him your energy, and everyone's like, nah, son.
That's not
and
neat.
Then Mr. Satan, freaking Daniel Bryan, comes out. He's like, give him your energy.
I love how this works only in our head. Like, if this can't work in anything, they can't do this
at WrestleMania. Yeah. it's ridiculous, but I'm picturing it and I love it.
Yeah. All right, but we're not gonna. Yeah, I don't want to do WrestleMania predictions unless you have something else to say about Roman's Daniel Bryan. Just because we don't really know the card for WrestleMania.
On a serious aspect, what do you think? If Roman does a new move, what do you think it would be?
A power move. But not a power bomb, but a move of high impact. Like,
no. Like which one would you see it as? I could definitely see Roman Reigns as a TKO guy. Nobody has used a TKO in years.
Wait. Do you want the finish to be a TKO against Brock Lesnar, like a definite, like, he doesn't even pin him, like, they stop the match.
No. Not a TKO technical knockout finish. The move, the TKO. Remember, like, Mark Marrow did it years and years ago, and a few others. Mark Jindrak, I think, had it for a while. It's basically the F5, but you turn it into an RKO or a stunner. Instead of onto their stomach. You get them in the fireman's carry, you spin them, and then you grab the head and you drop.
Maybe, like,
I could see him doing that, and it would have added impact doing that to Lesnar, because it's just the roots of his move.
I mean, unless he just straight up inherits the F5, like, he does, like, the F5.
Nah, him beating him with the F5 would just be
weird.
Yeah, I mean, I would like him to try it, because I mark out for people trying to use the other person's move. Whenever somebody tries to use the tombstone on Taker is...
Yeah.
My favorite.
I remember my favorite spot in the Rock Stone Cold era was when Rock and Stone Cold would trade finishers.
Yes.
Like, you know, they would. Rock would do the Stone Cold Stunner. Austin would do the really, really, really shitty Rock Bottom. Like, I still marked out. So
it would always be something like Austin would go for, like, do the kick in the stomach and go for the stunner. Rock would push him off, and then he would kick him in the stomach, go for the stunner. Austin would kick him off. Go for the Rock Bottom, get kicked off, Rock goes for the Rock Bottom, gets kicked off, and then finally takes the stunner, and Rock would do like a goddamn backflip. Like, it was like the end of the world or something.
Nice. I would like for him to have a power move of sorts. Like, if he has that, then I'm good. Like, I would like that.
I think TKO would be the perfect power move for him to have.
All right. I can... Yeah, I'll have to look at videos, and then I'll see if I like it.
here it is. I actually was just looking up back to Cena for one moment. This, even though it was a shenanigans-y submission loss, this was Cena's first submission loss in 11 years. It hasn't happened to him since No Way Out in 2004.
Do you have it? Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a clip. I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's 2004, yeah. Huh?
Hadn't happened since 2004 at No Way Out, and that was to Kurt Angle, and that was before he ever won a title. So
before the U.S. title?
Yes.
Wow.
So since...
This predates the Carlito feud, which I thought was his first.
This was right before he beat Big Show at 2004 for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Wow. So he, since winning his first world championship, has never submitted.
I think it's time.
So
yeah.
It's got to happen. That's my big WrestleMania prediction.
Even Hulk Hogan has tapped. Ric Flair has tapped a billion times. Even Triple H has tapped. Like, everyone's tapped. Like, everyone's it has tapped. To come. Yeah.
It's got
to
happen to Cena.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our bold predictions. Roman Reigns, he's coming for Brock Lesnar. Rusev is going to break and humble John Cena. Got lots of other great contenders. I think Wade Barrett's going to retain at WrestleMania of his IC belt. But there's so much up in the air, and there's such a vast, amazing road to WrestleMania. But most importantly, I hope Ronda Rousey's there.
Nice.
As always, thanks for listening. I am Cyan of Flame.
And I'm Rod Regan.